Indeed. We've been looking at God's word in the Sermon on the Mount, so-called, Jesus' sermon to his disciples or his followers or his teaching. We don't know if it's just one sermon or a block of teaching. And we want to look at that again this morning. If you have your Bible and you want to look ahead, we're in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 25 to 34 in just one wee minute. You won't know this man, but this is Alfred Smith. Until last week, he was Scotland's oldest man. He lived in Perthshire, and he died last week, aged 111. The reason I show you his photo is he had a very positive outlook on life. He was an elder in his local church for many years. His minister said of him, he was a wonderful character who brought great joy to all who had the privilege of knowing him. And he didn't worry too much about things. When he was 100, he bought a new washing machine, and he paid for a 10-year extended warranty. And he outlived the warranty. So he wasn't a big worrier. But that made him quite unusual in our current generation. I saw someone describe our generation as the age of anxiety. We live in an age where people worry a lot. There are more days lost from work through anxiety and stress and worry. And there are more tranquilizers prescribed than ever before. It just seems to be growing and growing. For all our advances and all our technology and so on, we seem to spend more time worrying about things. People seem to worry. The American weekly publication Grip magazine, it's for a farming community magazine, said people who tend to worry have a greater and more varied number of things to worry about than ever before. It just seems that life is full of concerns and worries. People worry about money and their appearance and health and beauty and fashion and relationships and their children's education and future, terrorism, plastic waste, global warming, you name it, there are people worrying about it. And of course, some people are more prone to worry than others. That's just the way we are. We have different temperaments, we have different personalities. But for everyone, life can be stressful. Life can bring worries for all of us. And the media is full of solutions, spas and therapies and counselling and meditation and exercise and so on and so on. All sorts of remedies for this stressful world in which we live. Well, as we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks to his followers about worry. And while we live in a modern age and there are all sorts of worries that the Jesus friends and followers would have known nothing about, that they had worries as well. They had worries about health. They had worries about their future. The Romans had conquered their land. Then they had their own concerns. And Jesus comes and speaks to them now. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6. And this is beginning at verse 25. This is Jesus continuing his teaching to his followers, his disciples and others who followed him as he sat up on the mountain and taught them. Here's what he says. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's just that good to speak to us. Father, we thank you that we can read the very words spoken by your Son Jesus, our Saviour. And we pray that you'll give us hearts our ears to hear them and hearts to understand and wills to put them into practice in our lives. We thank you, Father, for this teaching and pray that you will speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says three times in this passage, do not worry. Do not worry, do not worry. How can he be so insistent? When life brings so many pressures, how can Jesus just say, do not worry? Is the Christian life worry-free? Are Christians not to worry about anything? Is it to be like Pumbaa and Timon as they sing in The Lion King, Hakuna Matata? It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata from the Swahili phrase. Well, of course, he doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean that. Jesus knows that we face worries. And if you look there, this little bit of teaching begins with the word therefore. And remember at Bible college, and you've heard it so many times being drilled into us, if there's a therefore in the Bible, you look to see what it's there for. And of course, it refers back to what went before. Jesus says, therefore, and he says that because he's just been teaching. We looked at the previous verses from 19 down to 24 last week. Aaron was teaching us last week, and he helped us to look at those. And those are really where we see the cause of worry. And this carries on into what Jesus is saying today. So before we look at the remedy for worry or how to deal with worry, we need to look at what is it that caused it in the first place? And Aaron really posed two questions last week as he taught us. And the question was, first of all, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? What is it that you value most? And secondly, where is your focus? Where is your attention directed? What is it that you aim for in life? And you see, if our main concern is with this life, is with things we can get, and our jobs, and our careers, and our families, and our possessions, and our house, and our car, and all those things, if those are the things that we focus mainly on, of course we're going to worry, because those things are all so uncertain. That there's no real certainty in this life. None of us knows what tomorrow will bring in that sense. Finances can change, and careers can change, and illness can come, and we don't know. So if our whole focus is on those things, and if those are what we treasure most, well then, we're going to worry. And Jesus, in fact, said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If those are the things you value, well, that's what your life's going to center on. And so Jesus is saying, there are so many people, and their life just revolves around this life, and all they can get, and all they can achieve, and all that's happening. And he says, you can't be like that. You mustn't be like that. If you leave God out of your life, well, all there is to worry about things. Some people have no time for God at all. Some people live their lives worrying, gathering more stuff, and just that's their life, that's their focus. I read an interesting wee expression during the week. Someone said that it's possible to have a spiritual squint. A spiritual squint. You know, if someone's unfortunate enough to have a squint, and they seem to look at in two different directions at once. And this writer was saying, we can have a spiritual squint. We can, as Christians, we can have our eyes on God, and yet we can have half our eye on something else, on all the issues we've been talking about, on our finances and our careers and so on. And Jesus said, that's not possible. He said right at the end of verse 24 there, you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And my Bible is translated money. It's the old Hebrew word mammon, which just means gathered up possessions, stored up wealth, all the things that we accumulate around us. If that's your focus, then you're missing the point. If that's the focus in your life, then you're going to have worry. There's going to be concerns because all of those things are uncertain. They're not guaranteed. They're transient. And Jesus doesn't mean make no provision for the future. He doesn't mean that at all. Sometimes that verse 25, if you look at the old authorized version, it's translated, take no thought for your life, when Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life. And sometimes people take that to mean, well, don't ever plan ahead. You shouldn't be thinking ahead. Don't even think about things ahead. But that's not true, because Jesus says, consider the birds. And birds do plan for the future. Birds build nests. Birds gather up food for the winter. Before they migrate, they eat lots and lots and lots for the long journey ahead. Birds do make preparation. God doesn't actually feed the birds. He gives them the ability to feed themselves, to feed their young. We were on holiday there, and the apartment block opposite us, there's some sort of ventilation shaft with a grill over it, but obviously birds have managed to get in, wee sparrows, and make a nest in it. And every morning, the baby bird's heads were all sticking out, and the mother bird was flying backwards and forwards, bringing food all the time, backwards and forwards. Was God feeding the sparrows? Yes, but he was giving them the ability to feed themselves. Birds work hard, but they're free from worry. God doesn't say, don't plan, don't make plans, but he does say, don't have your heart set on those things. Hudson Taylor, who was the great missionary to China, who founded the China Inland Mission, when he was on his very first missionary journey, he's heading off to China. They only got as far as Wales, and there was a huge storm blew up, threatening to sink the ship. And he refused to put on his life belt. Everyone was instructed to put on a life belt. He refused to wear it because he said it would be dishonouring to God. God would save him from the storm. But he later admitted his mistake, and he said this, I put it up on the screen there, the use of means ought not to lessen our faith in God. And our faith in God ought not to hinder our using whatever means he has given for us for the accomplishment of his purposes. God enables us to do things and to get things, and we need houses to live in, and we need to plan ahead for our future, our retirement, or take insurance policies, all those things. Of course we do. Jesus isn't saying that that's not important. He's saying that it's important that that doesn't become the be-all and end-all of our lives. And Jesus doesn't say have no ambitions. It's okay to want to do as well as you can in school or to have your business flourish or to make a good career or to look after your family well. So long as that's not your driving force, so long as that's not what drives you, so long as that's not where your heart is. And Jesus doesn't say that his followers will be trouble-free, that if you're a Christian, you'll never have a worry. In fact, later on, Jesus, when he's teaching his followers again, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. Some people have trouble because they're Christians. In some parts of the world, that's true. Actually, being a Christian brings trouble and brings threats and brings worries. And Jesus said, not a sparrow falls, but God knows, but sparrows do fall. And God knows about the troubles that we face. We mustn't find security in our possessions. But Jesus doesn't say your life will be trouble-free. He's not saying that. He's just saying you've got to keep things in perspective. If your priority is to put God first and to know him, then these other things that come and go and that may cause you temporary worry, they're not going to be dominating your life. Secondly, we're going to look at the passage we're in today, at the folly of worry. Jesus says it's foolish to worry. It's foolish to worry. And the word he uses there for worry, he said, do not worry. It really means be over anxious, be distracted. That's a word we use a lot of. That drives me to distraction. I'm distracted with so many things I have to do. Don't be preoccupied with security, with possessions and position and so on. And that's our worldview. If you read the papers today, if you're on the internet or whatever, everyone's anxious about everything and preoccupied and distracted. And it shouldn't be true if you're a Christian. If we're Christians, that shouldn't be true. Of course we'll have needs. Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. He said, ask God for what you need. We will have needs. But he refers to anxious thought, that constant niggling anxiety that's there all the time. It's the same word that was used of Martha when Jesus visited Mary and Martha in their house. Mary was sitting listening to Jesus and Martha was running around doing all the preparations. And in an Eastern culture, there had to be preparation made. A guest had come and there were preparations to be made for something to eat and so on. But Martha came along to Jesus and said, tell Mary to help me. She's sitting there and I'm doing all the work. And Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. And that's exactly the same word there. You're distracted about many things, but only one thing is needed. And he said, listen, put me first. You can get something sorted out for the tea later. But come and listen to me. That's what Mary's doing. She was distracted. That's the word that we often use. So Jesus said, don't be distracted. It's foolish. He gives two reasons. It defies common sense. Jesus said, if you worry about something, you can't add an hour to your life or an inch to your height. Different translations vary in the way that they look at that. Worry is unproductive. It doesn't actually change anything. It achieves nothing except maybe ulcers and heart problems. And it can affect our physical health too. Worrying about a bill won't pay for it. Worrying about an interview won't help you in it. Worrying about an exam won't get you a better result. Now, there is temporary anxiety. Of course there is. If you're going to do your driving test, you'd be anxious, if you can remember that. If you go for a job interview, you may be anxious. And that actually helps us focus momentarily. But there shouldn't be that ongoing niggling anxiety, that distraction, because it doesn't change anything. If we're constantly worrying, often people who have more and more possessions, and in this part of the world, we are very wealthy. Sometimes we don't think of ourselves as wealthy, but we are very wealthy. The more we have, the more we worry. People worry about investments in the stock market and share prices and all sorts of things. Almost the more we have, the more there is to be anxious about. Jesus says, that achieves nothing. It achieves nothing. And secondly, he says, it defies Christian faith. Look at verses 26 and 30 there. Jesus said, God cares for the birds and the flowers. He's their creator, but he is your heavenly Father. We just sang that in one of our songs. Jesus used the words Father 17 times in those three chapters. Just in this small sermon to his followers, he says 17 times, your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven, your Father. And Jesus says, if God cares for the flowers and the birds which he created, how much more is he going to care for you, created in his own image, his children, particularly followers of Jesus? How much more is God going to care for you if he cares for all his creation? This is what's called an a fortiori argument. Philosophers and lawyers like these big words. Jesus said, if this is true, this small thing, then how much more true must it be that God loves you? If he loves the creatures whom he's made and the very flowers of the field, how much more does he love you as your Father? He's their creator and he's your Father. don't know if you remember this wee children's rhyme from childhood days. It says, the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. And Martin Luther said that God makes the birds our schoolmasters and our teachers. See, many people trust only in themselves. And if we trust only in ourselves, we're going to worry. Look at verse 32 then. The pagans run after all these things. That's people who are unbelievers, people outside of God's kingdom. They run after all of these things. But Jesus, you have a heavenly Father in whom you can trust. John Stott, the minister for many, many years in London, said to become preoccupied with material things in such a way that they engross our attention, absorb our energy, and burden us with anxiety is incompatible with both our Christian faith and common sense. It is distrustful to our Heavenly Father, and it's frankly stupid. It achieves nothing. That constant worry achieves nothing. Jesus is not suggesting that we will never have a care in the world, or that there aren't things that will worry us about our family or our health or whatnot from time to time. But he's saying that if we're so caught up in things of this world, we're going to be worrying about them all the time. And he says, take your focus off those things and put your focus on God, your Heavenly Father, who cares for you and knows you through and through and loves you. And thirdly, we look just briefly and finally at the cure for worry. What's the remedy for this worry? Verses 33 and 34. We really have to read 31 and 33 together. Let me read them. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And then down to verse 33. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If our main concern is for this life, then we'll always have worries. Our life will be dominated by worry because everything's uncertain. There's so much uncertainty. But Jesus says, you don't need to be consumed by these things. People who know nothing of God, that's the way their life is, because they're so, everything's dependent on what they can do and what they can achieve. But what he says is, put God first, seek his kingdom first. Think about God and his love. Commit your life to God. It says, seek his righteousness. Seek to be put right with God. There's the first step. Seek forgiveness. We were speaking about earlier in our prayer there. Seek forgiveness from God. Ask for his forgiveness. And then seek his kingdom. Put him first. Doesn't mean you won't have other things to look out for in your life. But put God first in your life. And know his peace. Not just for today, but for each day. Don't spend your life worrying about what might happen tomorrow. The old authorized version there is a good translation. I think it's one we probably know from childhood. Sufficient each day are the evils thereof. Well, the things may come, things may not come. So many people worry about things that never happen. We spend our life worrying about what if this and what if this and what if this. Jesus says, trust your Heavenly Father for today and let him look out for tomorrow. Our priority needs to be God's kingdom and not our own little kingdoms. And then we will know things in perspective. And there may be concerns, there may be issues, but we'll not be constantly distracted and burdened by them. Maybe there's some practical steps we need to take. Maybe we need to look honestly at our priorities. Maybe we need to look, maybe we just need to go home and think about what are your priorities? What are those things that cause you to worry and why? What are we most focused on? Where is our treasure? Is God first in our lives? Is God first in our lives? And maybe we need to do a little reassessment of our lives. Maybe we need to bring those worries to God. To bring those worries honestly to God and say, I'm fretting about this, I'm worrying about this, I'm distracting myself about this. Will you help me with it? Here's what Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything. And that's exactly the same word anxious that Jesus used of Martha. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul's not saying that bring your concerns to God and they'll disappear overnight. He's saying bring your concerns to God and God will give you that peace even in the midst of those concerns, even in the midst of those things that you're going to have to face, those uncertainties in life. God will give you that peace. Will enable you to face the future, whatever that may bring. Maybe we need to seek the help and encouragement of others. You know, it's easy sitting here at church to think that everyone else has got things sorted and no one else has a care in the world and you're the only one worrying. And it's not true. We always think that and we put on a brave face. What about if you have a worry? Find another Christian that you know and trust and go along and say, I'm concerned about this. Will you pray for me? Will you help me? And you very often find that everyone, when you speak to someone, someone else says, yeah, well, maybe, could you pray for me about this? Because we all have concerns. We all have things that worry us. Let's not try to live on our own. Let's try to work together, to live together, to help one another. Over the last week there, we've seen big groups of people working together as a team. None of what happened could have happened with individuals working alone. People had to work together, supporting one another in the mornings and in the evenings. Maybe we need to seek that encouragement from others. Or maybe for some here, there's a first step to be taken, and that first step is to commit your life to God for the first time, to ask for his forgiveness, to seek his righteousness. We can never make ourselves right before God, not however well we try to live, but to seek God's righteousness by confessing our sin, acknowledging our need of him, and putting our trust in him, seeking his righteousness and his kingdom first. Maybe that's the first step we have to take so that God can give us that peace which passes understanding. The story is told of a wealthy English aristocrat who had only one son and heir, and the son died soon after he grew up and left home, and the old man never really recovered from it. And he's a wealthy man, and he'd quite a big art collection. And when he died, the solicitor who's in charge of the will read that he wanted all his paintings to be sold at auction. And so an auction was called, and people went to the big mansion in which they lived. A large crowd assembled because they knew there'd be lots of paintings there worth buying. And the lawyer read from the will, "The first painting to be sold is a portrait of my beloved son." And when the lot was shown there, it was a poor quality painting. It wasn't by a well-known artist. People who didn't really know the son. And there wasn't much interest in it, but the only bidder was an old servant who had worked in the household years ago, who'd known the boy, and had a deep affection for him. And he bid, and there was no competition at all. He got the painting for a very modest sum. At that point, the lawyer stood up again and interrupted the proceedings, and he read from the will, "Whoever buys my son gets all the other paintings as well. The auction is over." That's putting Jesus first. Jesus said, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." That's what we've been trying to teach the boys and girls this week, as they just begin their lives, whatever stage of life you're at, from young right through to in the latter years of your life. That can be true. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that's why Jesus can say, "Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you know us, as you know every plant and you know every little sparrow. Thank you that you know us, created in your image. And thank you that you know the worries and concerns that we have to face in our lives in this modern, fast, stressful world. And we pray that you help us to fix our focus on you, to have our treasure in you. And we ask that as we do that, you will give us that peace to face whatever we have to face tomorrow, next week, next month. Help us to know your peace in our hearts. And Father, we pray that you help us not only to seek your kingdom in our lives, but to seek to introduce others to your kingdom. That many, many who are fretful and stressed, people we know and work with and live beside, that they might also come to know the peace that passes understanding, that can only come from forgiveness and a peace with you. So Father, we thank you that you know us and you love us just as we are, with all our worries and cares and concerns and fears and foibles and feelings. And we pray that you'll help us to put you first in our lives. And we ask that you'll help us not to worry, but to trust in you, the Creator God who loves us and gave his Son for us. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.